j'aurais fait pleuvoir de l'or tous les matins sur mon corps. Mais c'est à coup de dynamite que tous les soirs je m'endors. J'aurais fait pleuvoir de l'or tous les matins sur nos corps. Ushuaïa, 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 Ushuaïa. Traverser l'Amérique, parti comme deux conquistadors, voir le détroit de Magellan, braver l'océan Pacifique. J'aurais fait pleuvoir de l'or. Sur nos corps, et même battu par le vent, on s'était vu, toi et moi, là-bas. Ushuaïa, 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 Ushuaïa.
According to the BC Centre for Disease Control, COVID-19 is transmitted through larger liquid droplets, like what's produced when you cough or sneeze, coming in contact with the eyes, nose, and/or throat. COVID-19 is not transmitted through airborne particles, or small particles floating in the air, or through skin contact. To avoid droplet transmission, wear a face mask if sick. Cover your coughs and sneezes in your elbow. Do not shake hands or high-five others. Wash your hands frequently and for 20 seconds. Do not share household items. Flush the toilet with the lid down. Practice general cleaning. To prevent the spread of coronavirus 2019, or COVID-19, social distancing and self-isolation measures have been recommended. Here are some tips for managing your mental health while working from home, in self-isolation, quarantined, having to be home due to loss of employment, or just having to be home more than usual, according to @counselingforallseasons on Instagram. Try to create a structure or routine for your day. Structure helps us feel a sense of normalcy and control, and this is especially important during a time with a lot of unknowns. Routines do not have to be about productivity. Take a nap, go for a walk, or read a book. Remember to have regular meals and hydrate. This can add to a regular routine, and both of these can contribute to mood changes. If it's possible, get outside. If it's possible, get outside or open your windows. Fresh air and natural light can be beneficial to mental health. Don't be afraid to go outside. Just make sure you're observing basic social distancing. Stick to a sleep routine. Both lack of sleep and excess sleep can increase anxiety and depression. keep up with personal hygiene and chores. Skipping personal hygiene routines can affect our moods, so try to shower, etc., even though you're not going out. Keeping your space tidy and clean can help with mental health, but it'll also contribute to preventing the spread of COVID-19. It's two birds, one stone. Remember to connect with loved ones. We might not be able to see people face to face, but that doesn't mean that those relationships are any less meaningful or important. Connection is vital to our mental health, especially in times that can feel full of despair.
Hello, everyone. My name is Emin, and you're listening to Season 6, All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm joined by my Accessibility Collective teammates, DP and Christy. Hope everyone is doing well and staying safe. Today's show is going to be a great one because we are going to play an interview with the UBC's Vice President of Academic and University Affairs of the Alma Mater Society and the Associate Vice President of University. Now, I bet that got your attention, right? However, before we play their interview, let's go to our first song break. Deepi, what song are we listening to?
Thanks, Anand. Hi, everyone. Here's the song Angel Eyes by Christina Sheldon, and it is acoustic jazz cover.
Now number one, and why not?
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. The song that you just heard was Angel Eyes by Christina Sheldon, and it is an acoustic jazz cover. A little bit about Christina. She is a Vancouver-based singer, songwriter, and performer. She's been performing at an early age in choir, musical, and jazz bands. After a year of basic musicianship in college, she suffered a spinal cord injury that threatened to end her musical dreams. But through hard work and great determination, Christina started performing again at venues throughout Vancouver and is on the board of directors for the Vancouver Adapted Music Society. Now, Amin, back to you.
Thanks, DP. Now we are going to get on with our show's topic, which is the interview we have for you, and that's with the UBC's Vice President of Academic and University Affairs of the Alma Mater Society, Georgia Yee, and the Associate Vice President of University, Morgan Lorenz. Christy, you had an opportunity to talk with some inspiring people. Can you please tell us more about them, and what did you all talk about?
Yeah, it was a really great conversation. They mostly talked about what the Academic and University Affairs Office, as well as AMF, what their goals were in terms of like accessibility and especially helping students that are facing the COVID-19 pandemic. With Georgia, she had a specific goal this year centered on increasing accessibility and experiential learning. And currently, Morgan and Georgia are working in advocacy for increasing outdoor informal learning spaces, framed with focus on maintaining social distancing while encouraging collaboration and community. Yeah, it was a really great discussion. I'm excited to show our listeners.
Hi, Morgan and Georgia. First of all, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk with us, and welcome to All Access Pass.
Yeah, so delighted to be here. And we're so excited to be able to talk to some of the work that we're doing and also be able to hear from listeners as well, hopefully, and be able to help them be able to reach out as well about different concerns that they might have.
Exactly what Georgia said. I'm really, really excited to be here. Thank you for having us.
So I have read about the work you do, but can you please tell our listeners who you are and what you do at UBC? So we can start with Georgia and then Morgan.
Hi, my name is Georgia Yee. I am the Vice President of Academic and University Affairs at the AMS here. I act as the bridge between students and the university as well. And I also go by she, her pronouns.
And my name is Morgan Lorenz, and I am working under Georgia as Associate Vice President of University Affairs of the Alma Mater Society. And I also am involved across campus in the Kinesiology Undergraduate Society and UBC sororities. But in my position of AVP University Affairs, I work directly with Georgia to support her and our goals for this upcoming year and collaborating with UBC administration and other offices across UBC Vancouver campus to better support student advocacy needs.
Yeah, that's so great. I know this interview is like focused on plans to increase accessibility on campus, but I also do want to get to know like both of you, like outside of your work you do at UBC. So is there any like interests, hobbies, passions you would like to tell your listeners?
Of course. I'm also a fourth year biology student with minor in health and society, so I'm a big biology nerd. I also love playing video games. I'm pretty nerdy in that way. I also like to sew and make costumes. So that's one of the big things that I love doing. I also love cosplaying, so that's really fun. And I also just enjoy watching like shows and like anime and stuff like that too.
I think a little bit about me, some of my hobbies. I am a kinesiology student through and through. I do tend to exercise when I can. I'm a little bit of a rarity with kinesiology at that. I'm not exactly a gym rat, but I'm a wannabe gym rat, so maybe that says something. I love cycling. I'm a big spin gal, I guess you could say, and I love oil painting. It's one of my favorite passions and really have been trying to keep it up during this pandemic. And I love playing Among Us with our AUA team because let's be real, Among Us is the coolest game of that can come out of 2020. I don't know about you guys, but one of my favorites.
Yeah, so Georgia, why did you decide to take up the role of Vice President of Academic and University Affairs of the Alma Mater Society, or AMS?
Yeah, I think with UBC, it's such a huge university, and it's really, like, especially if you're a first year student, it's really easy to fall through the cracks. And, you know, seeing my friends and, you know, even myself as a first year, you know, experiencing all the craziness and like the intense workload, that it really is easy to fall through the cracks. And, you know, in my first year, I struggled a lot with like depression and like getting like academic concessions and, you know, struggling with like mental health. And so it really became about, you know, how do you help make sure that, you know, it's not just band-aid solutions that, you know, when we're seeking out like mental health solutions or like better ways that we're approaching, you know, academic well-being, that it's not just those band-aid solutions in terms of like, oh, we're gonna get dogs to promote mental health, all of that. And it's not just like 1 month that's dedicated to like mental health. It's about like empowering students and streamlining how to navigate all the bureaucracy of UBC and being able to build that actual infrastructure. And, you know, from my previous experience with like the Residence Hall Association as the platform, Vanier Residents Association president, I also got to directly connect with a lot of student representatives, being able to, you know, advocate and make change. And so it goes back to empowering students. And, you know, in particular, what also initiated some of my particular interest in, you know, creating accessibility policy was that some of my friends were able to create like an outline, like accessibility policy for the Residence Hall Association as well. So really it ends up becoming about how do you navigate such a bureaucratic system at UBC and being able to actually empower students, not just like here are the stop gaps in, you know, a crack-filled like system that often lets students fall through those cracks as well.
Yeah, thank you for sharing like your personal experience as well. And it's like really nice to hear your intentions.
Just based on what Georgia was illustrating about her own experiences and how that funneled into her work now as VPAUA, that initially was my interest in coming into the position as AVP University Affairs, because I saw on her platform that she wanted to really push forward with accessibility measures and expanding beyond the definition of what accessibility really means from our UBC bureaucratic system, and understanding the multifaceted approach that must be addressed in order to better support students from a holistic perspective. And that really was one of my main interests as both an international student and as a disabled student, to be able to see a representative of the university who is working for the students and with the students, because I feel like that is hard to find nowadays. So just to jump in there.
So you're both like creating an equitable, like more inclusive space for all students. So that's really great to hear.
During COVID-19, it's, you know, all of these structural problems surrounding like racial justice and, you know, healthcare justice and economic justice, all of those different problems have definitely been exacerbated by COVID. And so that is where it was so vital to be able to like look at, you know, there's so much uncertainty, there's so much stuff that's up in the air, that it was so vital to be able to step in and be like, okay, their students need to be able to have somebody who's able to advocate and to also feel empowered to get involved with the community, and an emphasis on, and creating an emphasis on like caring for the community collectively, not just like the individual, like emphasis on like self-care, but community care as a whole.
And so knowing that our show is about like equity, inclusion, and accessibility for people with diverse abilities on campus and beyond, in terms of accessibility, what has the AUA/AMS done to improve UBC as well as in the academic sector?
Definitely. So for the AMS specifically, we're currently working on the AMS equity plan that came out of the caucus as well back in 2019. So there will also be having some consultation and listening sessions that on November 17th, 12 to 1:15 p.m. if anybody is interested. That session is specifically geared to students with disabilities and accessibility needs, specifically on like how can the AMS become more equitable within its governance structures, within, you know, the food that is served, within the clubs, within, you know, access to various resources that the AMS provides. So we're also hoping to get some of that work on the AMS equity plan done as well. In previous years, so I will not take credit for this, but last year, the academic concessions policy, V-135, was also reviewed and standardized across faculty, which also included the standardized academic concessions like protocol and the academic concessions self-declaration form. So that removes some of those barriers associated with getting an academic concession as well, especially if you may not have access to a doctor, for example. So we're also hoping to put more focus on the implementation of this policy as well. And in previous years, they've also approved the academic accommodations for students with disabilities, and previous AUA offices have also been working on that policy as well. So that's some of the work previously done, but we're also hoping to do a lot of work on closed captioning services and overall accessibility or physical accessibility needs as well. Morgan, did you want to talk about the inclusive toolkit as well?
Completely. Yeah, I did want to bring it up. So earlier this summer, I was able to work with the UBC Athletics and Recreation Department, as well as other offices across UBC, on a physical activity inclusive toolkit that can be readily used, and it's accessible by all UBC departments, clubs, and constituencies across UBC Vancouver campus. And even it can be applicable not just on UBC Vancouver campus, but onto UBC Okanagan campus as well. It was really wonderful, and it was a very collaborative project, and I was able to help out with the principal development guidelines, which was super wonderful and incredible to be able to work with such an amazing team. So it is an opportunity to be able to provide for the general UBC population who are considering to include maybe an active movement break into their course, or trying to promote a student inclusive space to be more physical, or having a class or an event, and trying to provide some guidelines or supportive educational services that can better support individuals who are coming to that space from all different backgrounds and all different abilities, and trying to maximize the space and their potential to thrive physically and from a mobility perspective. So that's a really wonderful thing that is in the works and will be published later this year. And Georgia and I can speak up to more of some of our other initiatives as well, as Georgia has mentioned.
Yeah, especially on the academic front, a lot of our work on, you know, the guiding principles for the fall 2020 adaptations that we've been working with the provost's office on, that gave guidance to a lot of instructors looking for ways to shape their classes for the online format. You know, two of the main principles are to approach course adaptations with flexibility and compassion, which are so essential to making courses more accessible as well.
So the listening session, that was November
17th, 12 okay. to 1:15 p.m. So we'll probably have more information coming out around that soon. So we'll be sure to send over information for that.
What areas are the AUA/AMS concerned about and continue to work on when it comes to increasing accessibility across CBC? Like, I know that you've mentioned a few already, but is there like any specific issue that you would like to talk about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so one of the biggest things that we're really pushing for is to develop a strategic direction that UBC can take on with regards to accessibility, as a lot of the resources that are currently offered by the Center for Accessibility are very operational. Again, going back to the point of, you know, we can create like accommodations for students, but how do we think beyond just like accommodations and, you know, really look towards creating an inclusive space from the very beginning, and, you know, being able to lower barriers for students to access help at the Center for Accessibility. Say, for example, if they create like a mechanisms through intake forms or like online intake, or like a specific person dedicated to coordinating intake forms as well. One of the things that the AUA office and the AMS has pushed for is for open educational resources as well, addressing the affordability of education, say for example, for through textbooks or problem sets that can be reusable and that can be remixed, whether it's, you know, translating it or like to be transcribed, or and that it can also be easily adapted for the usage of the greater public, so that it will be licensed under like a Creative Commons license, so that it is accessible for all people and that it is able to be adapted for various like accessibility needs as well. So we've also continued to raise awareness of that. And there's also a great open educational resource toolkit to support accessibility needs and universal design of learning as well. And so we've also been working with the CTLT and the Center for Accessibility for like more accessible educational resources as well. One thing that we're also really hoping to continue working on is with international students and the Center for Accessibility to ensure outreach to different time zones, that there are asynchronous options available and that there's more resources available for those students that are abroad, whether it's bandwidth issues that are, or whether it's time zones or even like political firewalls related to access to VPNs, all of that, that, you know, all of these resources related to their academic learning and, you know, their connection to the UBC community are available as well. And we're also going to be looking at a space for at UBC for neurodivergent students and being able to create a sensory room as well. So we're also really, really excited about that. One of the big priorities that we're also pushing for is lecture recording infrastructure in classrooms as well, to be able to increase the access as we transition to a more hybrid model at UBC as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a little bit. I know that for international students especially, we've been working with the International Student Affairs Office to try to look into expanding or creating a database that centralizes all of these different mental health resources and support systems that are available within specific countries across the world to make sure that these students are being supported. I know that there's, especially right now with multiple pandemics going on, and we have from COVID-19 to racial justice, mental health right now is of our utmost priority, especially in the AUA office, and to better support international students and students with disabilities. And we're all struggling. It's so important to be able to make sure that individuals from across the world are still receiving the same equitable support that students at UBC Vancouver, if they were centralized within the greater Vancouver area, they're still able to access the mental health support resources that they would be able to access. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that's my biggest add that I wanted to chime in on.
And have you seen any challenges during this transition to online classes?
Yeah, there's definitely been a lot of challenges that, you know, have arisen out of online classes. And, you know, it's a double-edged sword, whereas, you know, online classes have presented a lot of challenges, whether it's like it's trouble hearing, connectivity issues, incompatibility with various technologies, especially assistive technologies with different programs that professors have like moved towards as well. But it's also that with asynchronous lectures that you can watch at any time and that they can later be recorded, that it's also introduced like another like form of accessibility, that it's also been able to create more of an opportunity for students to be able to participate through like text chat if they are uncomfortable speaking up in class, or if they, you know, may not be able to make it to class for whatever reason that day, and then they can still be incorporate, or they can still catch up in their work that way as well. But it's definitely been like a very different experience in terms of like the various challenges, especially with Zoom fatigue. I know that personally, I am definitely Zoomed out. And so for a lot of students with chronic fatigue, and for students with various concerns related to, you know, visual needs or like auditory needs, that it can be incredibly draining as well to be spending so much time focusing on hearing what it on like through engagement through the computer, that it can be extremely challenging that way.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. The audio you are listening to is of Christy's interview with the UBC's Vice President of Academic and University Affairs of the Alma Mater Society, Georgia Yi, and the Associate Vice President of University, Morgan Lorenz. We will play more of their interview for you, but we need to go to another song break. Beepy, what song are we listening to next?
Thanks, Emin. Here is the song, Your Heart is as Black as Night, by Melody Gurdot, and the album is called My One and Only Thrill.
Your eyes may be whole, but the story I'm told is your heart is as black as night. Your lips may be sweet, such that I can't compete, but your heart is as black as night. If I let you hang around, I'm bound to lose my mind, 'cause your hands may be strong, but the feeling's all wrong. Your heart is as black as night. such a perfect time. But if I let you hang around, I'm bound to lose my mind. 'Cause your hands may be strong, but the feelings are wrong. Your heart is as black. Your heart is as black. Oh, your heart is as black.
Welcome back to All Watchers Class on CITR 101.9 FM. The song you just heard was Your Heart is as Black as Night by Melanie Gurdot off the album My One and Only Thrill. A little bit about Melanie. She is an American jazz singer who has been influenced by such blues and jazz artists like Miles Davis and many more, and has been nominated for a Grammy Award. At the age of 19, Gurdot was involved in a bicycle accident and sustained a head injury. Music played a critical role in her recovery. She became an advocate of music therapy, visiting hospitals and universities to discuss its benefits. In 2012, she gave her name to music therapy program in New Jersey. And that's about it for me. Back to you, Amin.
Thanks, Deepi. Before the song break, we were playing you an interview with the UBC's Vice President of Academic and University Affairs of the Alma Mater Society, Georgia Yee, and the Associate Vice President of University, Morgan Lorenz, who were gracious enough to chat with my Accessibility Collective teammate, Christy. They're trying to create accessibility during the COVID times and so much more. So now, we would like to play the remainder of that interview for you.
This is just a question from Avery to Morgan. I'll read it out. First off, hi Morgan, fellow G5. I have admired you not only for your work in our sorority and how you're such a natural leader, but also in the other incredible things you do within the UBC community. My question is, what motivated you to begin working with AMS, and what do you find to be most rewarding part of this role? I know you mentioned your motivations, but yeah, what's rewarding?
First off, big shout out to Avery. Hello, hello. That was so, so sweet. And it's wonderful to find out that you're involved with All Access Pass. I really would say, just expanding upon some of my motivations that I did touch on earlier, just as you said, Christy, as a disabled international student, I really just was looking for a way, especially in the COVID-19 pandemic, how to better support students from an advocacy perspective. And I know for me, I really wanted to expand my knowledge of UBC administration and other departments. And with my involvement in the Kinesiology Undergraduate Society, I really wanted to expand my understanding of how, as a student in KIN, I can better utilize my resources and support to better the community at large and the students at large. I think I'll leave it to that.
Thank you. So I know that currently both are working in advocacy for increasing outdoor informal learning spaces with the focus on maintaining social distancing while encouraging collaboration and community. So can you tell us more about what your plans are?
Completely. No, thank you for asking. The AUA office is working on a proposal to advocate to the UBC administration about increasing outdoor informal learning spaces. Currently, according to the UBC Learning Spaces website, there are no outdoor learning spaces or informal learning spaces listed, which was a very interesting finding. We've met up with other AMS portfolios and are planning to meet next week with several officials from the UBC campus and community planning to discuss campus landscape accessibility and also proposing our outdoor informal learning spaces idea. So in the short term, we are hoping to increase outdoor learning or outdoor learning seating areas in building overhang spaces and other underused spaces across the UBC campus. And really this kind of came to light because UBC administration officials have expressed concern about establishing a sense of community and belonging in this online pandemic that we're currently in. And well, not an online pandemic, but a online virtual learning environment and within a COVID-19 pandemic. So after conducting some research, we're hoping to push forward for more accessible, climate-friendly outdoor informal learning spaces that can be used by students and UBC community members at large, continuing to come or who do reside on the UBC Vancouver campus. So this would allow for students who have access to Wi-Fi, but may have challenging bandwidth issues, need space from family members, or need a place to gather their thoughts. It's outdoors, so individuals may feel safer to be able to work outdoors in this new COVID-19 environment that we are in. And really our proposal is centered on increasing spaces across the UBC campus for fostering community engagement and increasing academic spaces. That was really our whole intention with our proposal. We're really, really excited about it and think that it would benefit especially students who are at risk to be able to give a little bit of comfort, especially to that student cohort in our UBC population.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. Like studying in your room, it might feel like they're different than what you're used to, like studying outside or like at UBC campus. So
mm-hmm. I agree. No, it's interesting too, because I believe there's been a shift in traditional architectural landscapes on college campuses, now needing to consider that the likelihood of more pandemics in the future will increase the need to be able to look into how do we reimagine UBC landscapes? How do we take a closer look into making not just more accessible from a technological standpoint, but to make it more accessible learning academically and from a disability standpoint as well. Mm-hmm. So that's really our advocacy efforts when it comes to the outdoor informal learning spaces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to thrive as a student, that's really important. So it kind of relates to the last question, but we don't know like when the pandemic will end. And so can you tell us what are some future safety plans for all students to feel comfortable, but like to also get a sort of normal life? Do you have anything like additional from the outdoor learning spaces?
Completely, no. Thank you so much for that question. What I can tell you is that the AMS executive government is working with the AMS events to scale back any in-person events and really transitioning fully into online events. We had earlier in this year some in-person events that were optional. We are looking into trying to make sure that students are feeling more safe when it comes to being an active participant in these events and ensuring that it is accessible to all students, regardless of being on campus or participating online. So we're really looking into how to make sure that AMS events and engagement is being more accessible. I know that the AUA office will be launching a COVID-19 campaign about wearing masks and social distancing within the next month. And we're looking forward to working with students to be able to get a stronger idea of how we can channel our efforts and to better support disadvantaged populations, especially at-risk students who in British Columbia with rising cases, we want to be conscientious of comfort and establishing more safety and security within our greater UBC bubble. And to your mention about, you know, how will we get a sort of normal life? I think it's hard because it feels a bit like this is a new normal of some sort. And I wish that wasn't the case. But at the same time, I feel like the COVID-19 pandemic has had its pros and cons. It's really allowed us to reflect on, especially from an accessibility standpoint, it has allowed us to look into more ways to foster and strengthen engagement with student populations who need more support and who have fallen in the cracks and who have fallen deeper in the cracks in light of the COVID-19 pandemic. So it really has allowed for us from a student government standpoint to better support our advocacy efforts. And with a normal life, you know, who knows what the future may hold. But what I can say is that the AMS is here for you. And we are working hard to make sure that all of the asks and needs of the greater AMS student body is represented and being adhered to with this next coming year and the many years to come. Because support and active listening and leading with empathy is, at least from my standpoint, has been the AMS strong suit and will continue to be. And I'm hoping that that fosters a sense of security for your listeners to know that the AMS is looking to support actively and conscientiously and being a support system, because we're here for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great to hear, like leading with empathy. That's
completely, we need to lead more with empathy nowadays. Mm-hmm. And I think that ties in too with our mental health advocacy efforts. You know, I have friends who have reached out to me who say that their barriers with trying to access help and support from their professors and get learning accommodations through the Center for Accessibility, there isn't that leading with empathy that is, I guess you could say, university-wide acknowledged by faculty-wide. And I think that that's something that needs to be addressed. And I know that the AUA team has been working hard to be able to work with the UBC faculties to ensure that there is a stronger consciousness on support and empathy and understanding and mm-hmm. kindness, leading with kindness during this mm-hmm. challenging times that we are in.
Yeah, those are really important values. It's very good to hear that. Morgan, from a student's perspective, are you comfortable in telling us how the pandemic affected you personally as well as professionally?
Completely, more than happy to. I definitely can say from an accessibility perspective, it has been quite challenging. Being immunocompromised, I was concerned about my well-being with rising cases, not just in British Columbia, but within my home state of California. But I needed to transition to leave British Columbia to go back home and be closer to my medical team just in case anything would happen. So there was a lot of transport difficulties that did shift my academics and my professional life this past few months, I guess you could say. I have high frequency hearing loss as a result of childhood chemotherapy, and I wear hearing aids to better support my communication. And I really struggle to hear the letters S, T, and Z. And I can mix up several other letters. I wish I could say that I can hear. I feel like sometimes there are words that drop off for me, and that's where really my high frequency hearing loss comes in. And why? Gotta wear those hearing aids. I'm sure your listeners who are hard of hearing totally get where I'm coming from. But I would say from an accessibility standpoint, in light of the COVID-19 pandemic, I often rely for communication measures on lip reading and interpreting visual expression. So for wearing masks, and I'm sure that several other listeners can relate to this, wearing masks has been quite a challenge. I know for me, I normally do struggle already when I am, for example, ordering a coffee at a coffee shop, and I miss one thing that the barista is asking me, or when I'm at a grocery store and I'm asking someone for help. Sometimes I can mix up some words and get a little lost. So I think you could say with a mask, it has been an added challenge and an added communication barrier. But when it comes right down to it, I think that inversely, and this is kind of something that I know I highlighted before, with the pandemic challenge, with the COVID-19 pandemic challenges, it also has introduced opportunities to be more creative and to reimagine. So I know for me, I have taken the COVID-19 pandemic as an opportunity to increase my usage of American Sign Language and try to show to some of my hearing friends, so not hard of hearing or deaf or capital D deaf, but my hearing friends, some communication signs that may benefit not just me, but other individuals who are members of the deaf or hard of hearing community about, you know, how are you doing? Wearing a mask, so some easier measures that may be more supportive. And I feel like that presents an opportunity to normalize some sign language usage. And especially from a disability standpoint, I think that it is important to look into how can we normalize some of these communication measures and make it more feasible post-pandemic. I know that there are masks that have screens that are available, but they're often not used. And I know that working with the Center for Accessibility, we are looking into communication measures and collaborations between the AUA team and the CFA. What I can say is working with the Center for Accessibility on trying to come up with modules or video instruments that can be distributed to hearing individuals that can provide tools to better communicate with the deaf community is something that I know is high on the AUA team's list, and we're really excited about what can come from that. And I definitely would say that, you know, while the pandemic has affected all of us, I think that it just also illustrates that there's a lot of growth and a lot of reflection that can come from this. And for me, at least, I know it's brought an opportunity to be very self-reflective on what we each individually need and how we can better ourselves.
Thank you for sharing your story and your personal experiences, just being open about that. That's really nice. I feel like the theme for this like interview is like reimagining like BBC and beyond. So
potential. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I feel like you know, it is hard though, because we can't really, by reimagining, we also have to reflect on the challenges that have been burdening students. You know, mm-hmm. we can't just say reimagine without reflecting and connecting with not just your listeners, but UBC's community and greater UBC Vancouver, understanding how our community at large is being impacted and knowing where we can grow from this and as a community strengthen.
Mm-hmm. Overall, what are your future goals for UBC? Like, this could be individual, or what's next for like the AUA or AUMS? Any like general overall goals?
I know for me, I hope to continue working with the Center for Accessibility in lowering barriers and destigmatizing resistance towards trying to seek support for accessibility needs and aiming to provide more equitable and comprehensive tools that will better the success of disadvantaged populations, and especially international students and students who struggle with accessibility across the UBC Vancouver campus. I hope to continue to lead with empathy and practicing active listening when interacting with the UBC community to ensure that with the campus moving to become more accessible, the campus in turn will become more equitable, inclusive, and maximizes the potential of all individuals within our community. And it comes right back to our theme of this discussion, reimagining. And there's a lot of potential within our greater UBC community, and we want to be able to ignite that magic that we can create.
Yeah, last but not least, do you have anything you would like to say to our CITR listeners?
Yeah, I definitely encourage people to be able to reach out. And I think that as we work towards like a more strategic direction for UBC's approach to accessibility, whether it's physical spaces or physical accessibility or for accessibility in the learning atmosphere, that we're really working to be able to not just create more accommodations, but be able to reshape how we're thinking about accessibility. And as we're working towards what will returning to, you know, the new to normal, we're also looking towards, like, we can't just go back to what is normal. I think it's also, you know, we have this great opportunity to think about, like, what does a green and just recovery look like for not just UBC students, but across the world. So I think we're able to reimagine and really rethink, and not just to get discouraged by all the craziness of the pandemic, but use this as a igniter for a lot of great new opportunities for hope for a new, more accessible world as well. But thank you all.
Definitely. I would say that I most of all want to say that the AUA team is always here to listen. The AUA team wants to hear from your listeners, from you all, about how we can better advocate for you, for across the UBC campuses, to work towards a more accessible and equitable campus and academic environment. So please don't hesitate to reach out. I think when it comes to looking with a critical eye at our UBC Vancouver, when it comes to looking at our UBC Vancouver campus, an accessible campus is possible, but there needs to be stronger awareness of the cracks, shall we say, by UBC administrators, UBC departments, and students at large. And that can only be possible without your listeners' insight. So we're really looking forward to this year. We want to learn, we want to grow. We are here to reimagine, because we're gonna grow from this, and we're gonna come out of this stronger than ever. And there's so much potential to be that accessible campus that we all know that we can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really inspiring to hear.
Well, I'm glad.
Again, thank you so much, Morgan and Georgia, for joining All Access Pass today.
Well, thank you so much for having us. We are so happy to be on this show and chatting with you and chatting with your listeners. We're really excited for hearing back from you all about some of our events coming up, and we'd love to see you guys come out to more. There's a lot coming out. Keep an eye out on AMS UBC across all social media platforms. Fun fact, we just created a TikTok called AMS Advocacy. So if you're a TikTok fan, check it out. But yeah, we are really excited to hear more from you all. And thank you so much for having us, Christy, and really enjoyed chatting with you.
Thank you. Take care.
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. The audio you are listening to is of Christy's interview with UBC's Vice President of Academic and University Affairs of the Alma Mater Society, Georgia Yee, and the Associate Vice President of University, Morgan Lorenz. Christy, thank you for the interview. It is great to hear UBC is trying to be inclusive, but at the same time, follow safety protocol. So during your interview, what was the most interesting thing that you heard from Georgia and Morgan?
Well, I really enjoyed hearing about all the different goals and opportunities they were discussing about. I know they mentioned a lot about like reimagining how we can better support students like in all areas. Yeah, it was just really great to also listen about like UBC administration in general and like what they do internally, because for me personally, I wasn't too informed about EMS. So yeah, I thought that was really a nice learning experience for me.
Yeah, I bet it was great to hear that from them. So I know that UBC is having a lot of strict regulations about masks, especially in the Nest and other communal areas. So what do you think is going to be their plan for the future once students come back, if this whole COVID thing dies down a little bit?
Yeah, we discussed in the interview as well was their plans to make an outdoor space outside going into the future. And like, I know like there's so many dense and crowded areas indoors. So that would be like, I guess, the new normal.
Yeah, and also it's probably going to be safer for everybody who's on campus right now too. So integrating outdoors seems like a great idea. Mm-hmm. And that wraps up our episode for today. Hope you all enjoyed it.
And if you are interested in joining our team or think that there is an issue we should bring up on our show, please send us an email at accessibility